This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
It's sci-fi and Squeam Gym, but not as we know it. On Joy 94.9.
One station in all the world, a chosen station.
To boldly go where no show has gone before.
Sci-fi and Squeam.
On Joy 94.9.
And welcome to Sci-fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9. Mitch?
That was Kikuyu, Grass Thief, and that was the Australian artist Kikuyu who we had on the show a little while ago.
Yeah, she's off to China this month.
Oh, really?
On tour. How about that?
Good work, Kikuyu.
With her synthesizer and stuff, and that's very cool. And thanks to Catching Up, the guys there, Catching Up on Joy for another great show.
Great show. And in the studio tonight, we have Dina Curry and Scott Liston from Armageddon. How's it going, guys?
Good, thanks.
I'm good.
Great. And we also have heaps of interviews, Sonia. You had so many over the weekend.
I had so much fun.
Amazing.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you, Scott Liston. Look at that. We've got Chris Heyerdahl, of course, probably most famous for Sanctuary. It's a great TV series, but also Twilight. Like, he's making quite a headway in some sharp-toothed, yes.
And you're also able to grab Terry Malloy from Doctor Who. He had a
Davros.
Really great panel.
He did.
It was so great. And he had a little radio show on also, what was it called?
The Archers.
The Archers.
Which is the longest running radio show in history.
I don't think it was a little show. It went for a long time.
It's still going. 65 years or something. Oh. And we've also got Cindy Morgan, of course, Yuri from Tron and Caddyshack. And the wonderful Charles Martinet from the Mario Brothers, Luigi.
Yes, and no, he's the voice of Mario.
He's the voice of Mario.
He's the voice of Mario. And
he was Mario, Luigi, and Wario as well.
Oh, he did Wario.
Yeah, he's done all of them.
They're
just one paycheck and they can do the whole
thing. I know, right? I was like, they're getting their money's worth as well.
And we've got Bruce Boxleitner. I should get that right. Because for years I've been saying Boxleitner. That's so wrong. But he corrected me there. So we have a bit of an edited chat there with him. He's from Babylon 5, of course, and Tron. And Dean from Guy-Fi Podcast is here. He's going to talk about comics and all the fun stuff that happened on the weekend too.
Yeah, we had San Diego Comic-Con, including Armageddon. So it's been a geek-filled
New York
weekend.
Comic-Con.
Oh, was it? No, New York. Sorry, I got it wrong already. Well, that's a good start, isn't it?
Too many comics.
Good way to begin.
And what did you dress up as over the weekend?
I was 70s Dazzler. I didn't wear roller skates, though, because I was too tired and hay fever was killing me.
That's not good enough. There's plenty of concrete floor at the exhibition centre.
I was so happy, though, like, because I was going to do it in a really dodgy way, and then Polly Filler, the drag queen Polly Filler, actually went, I'll just make you one, and made me the outfit. And then I bought a $10 dodgy wig, and she goes, no, use my Madonna wig. So my hair looked amazing, and I loved it.
Oh,
I loved it, too.
Like
I think it looked amazing.
My man bits, though, were a bit squashed to the side, but that's what happens when a drag queen designs your outfit.
It looked fetching.
You can also message us in your cosplays if you were a cosplayer at Armageddon.
Did you wear what?
What did you wear? What did you think of the con? Let us know. We've got the organizer in the studio and he'll be happy to hear what you say, because I think it's a really great convention. And
cosplay is a big part of the show. I mean, a lot of people get into it and it's fantastic. I love watching the kids dressed up because they love it. Yeah, they've got this store bought from Target, Captain America outfit. But you know what? Get into it early. Have a bit of fun with it.
There were tons of Cap and Thor costumes.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Loki. I saw a female Loki.
Yes.
Did you see her?
With a female Thor as well. I got a
very
picture
horny.
With her. But it was.
I mean, she was very
horny.
On her head.
Yeah, I actually got a picture with her and the female Thor, and what was funny is my breasts looked bigger than both of them.
You just can't stop talking about your body. It's healthy. It's a healthy body image. Thanks, Dean. And Scott. So, Scott, just thinking again about the success of the weekend, how did this one make you feel?
Really
at the
good.
End of it?
It's all tired.
Very tired.
Exhausted. Yeah. Look, it's you've got all the excitement leading into the show and all the anxiety. It's like, what's going to happen? Because you never know what's going to happen until you open the doors. And then once it's over, you just go, a big sigh of relief.
Yeah.
And, collapse into bed in exhaustion and, you know, sleep for 48 hours. I've just done. But no, it was fantastic. You're walking around, there was the jumping onto our Facebook page and stuff. It's just everybody's like had a great time. My staff were fantastic. I think the best year I've ever had. And yeah, there was a lot of things we tried out this year to try and limit. We know when you get 20,000 people into a room with all these celebrities, they all want autographs, they want photos, the lines are going to be an issue. So what we did this year, obviously, was put them on pre-sale so you could buy them all online beforehand. And then the company that did that ran our token booth for us. So all the tokens and everything were all basically like Ticket Tech type tickets. And so you couldn't forge them, but everything was just streamlined and the lines were virtually non-existent. And yet we did more autographs and photo ops
ever before. It was fantastic. Oh, okay. It was absolutely fantastic. I've got to say, I was saying it and so were a lot of other people for both days. Just the way you guys organised the space and the lines especially, it just made it so much more fun and relaxing for everybody.
It does. Well, it's funny, my photographer, you know, in photo booth one, Pete, rings me today and says, okay, we have tapped it out, 200 photo ops an hour is all we can do. And I went, why? Surely you can get faster. He goes, yes, I can, but my gear can't keep up. The lights, you know, your professional photographer lights, they can't recharge fast enough.
Oh, wow.
So 200 photos an hour is the most we can do.
They need to invent technology. Maybe they need to look at Star Trek. There must be something that they can
set phases to starting.
I feel more for the actors or the people getting the photos.
The constant 200 flashes an hour.
Exactly.
We've got epileptic fits going on.
But they just keep having a ball. Like all the pics that you end up seeing, they're just so happy and having great time with everybody.
Because they don't move.
True. They just assume the position.
Yeah.
Endurance.
It's a wax model, yeah.
It's a lot of endurance. And so for you, Scott, as well, what would be a highlight of some of the people that did participate? You've got a great lineup. You know, how do they feel about coming over to Melbourne?
They always have a great time, especially when if they haven't been out to Australia before. They like having the holiday, the bit of a break, because they do us first, and then this coming weekend they're in Auckland.
Oh, yes, Auckland.
So,
yep.
I mean, half of them are still around town, wandering around, eating in restaurants. So, you know, head out and about, and who knows who you might see.
Did you hear that, folks? Out there, eating somewhere.
Could be in
Mario
Melbourne. That's
himself.
It, actually. Yeah, he was in Chinatown eating dinner tonight if you were down there.
He wasn't having pizza.
No.
Mamma mia.
What's the mama
going
to say?
He was eating the mushrooms,
That's it. So yeah, they're all just having a ball.
Cool.
I think it'd be great to run into Marius on the street. Like,
well, he was wearing a Nintendo T-shirt, so that's how you could spot to find out obviously who he was.
Roger Bumpus, who is the voice of Squidward on SpongeBob SquarePants, wears a Squidward T-shirt when he's at shows,
just to spite people.
I think it's more so people know who the hell he is.
Yes, exactly. He's a voice actor.
Much easier to recognise.
It's always funny going to our cocktail party, and there's no one sitting with the comic guys who can be some of the biggest names, and or with the voiceover guys who are
huge.
Don't
know what they look like.
You know, John DiMaggio, the voice of Bender, and there's no one talking to him because they don't know who it is.
They don't know who it is.
Yeah, it's hilarious. But then it's like, but that's who they've all gone to the show to see. But it's like, he's right there. Go have a beer with him.
Go on. And he loves making noises. Interesting noises. This is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
I'm John O'Jerry, geeked out from the United States of America, sends much love to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9, the best LGBTQ radio show in all of Australia.
This is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9, and this is all about Armageddon and more, because we do have an awesome prize, not to forget that, of course, and that is a double pass to the awesome Monster Film Festival. It's the opening night, and it's called The ABCs of Death. That's the name of the film. Yes, it's fictional, and it has 26 horror directors doing their take on death and dying in a horrific way possible. It's the first time it's going to be screened in Australia. Let's hope it gets more of a run. And it's opening night, 31st of October at 7 p.m. Now, don't forget to email us.
And we can also like to hear about your cosplays. Yeah. We would also like to hear about your weekend at Armageddon if you did go. And if you didn't go, what were you doing?
And this prize...
what else was going on?
This prize is thanks to Cinema Nova. So thank you, Cinema Nova, for donating that. That's excellent. All right. So off air, we were talking about more about Armageddon and these people, of course, wandering around the city streets. But then they're off to Auckland.
Yeah. Some of them flew out. They've been sort of fly out. You know, yeah. Whenever they feel like it, really. They either spend more time in Melbourne or more time in Auckland.
Well, good on them.
So depending on what they wanted to do. That's it. It's a hard life some of them have. I say this to a few actors, and it's like, okay, here we go. So let me think if you can do this. Let me fly you out to Australia, pay for your accommodation, I'll pay you, and then let me get a couple of thousand people to walk past and tell them how much they love you. Do you think you could handle that as a gig?
Oh, so I wouldn't
mind. Do you think you could do that?
I could. You'd have trouble getting that many people, but
now,
oh, and I'm sure the listeners would love it. They'd be lining up around the block.
Now, no. Just prepare for 200 flashes.
Yes,
an hour.
Flashes of what?
No, oh, we don't know. We don't know yet. It's just in the contract. Flashes.
It could be Dean and his cosplay.
It must be hard for them because, you know, think about how many times you just look ridiculous when you're doing the big smiles and everything.
Yeah.
They must practice their smiles and have them perfect because they just look perfect in every single shot.
Yeah, yes. That's their job, though, isn't
true.
It? Yeah.
Just imagine how many hours they've stood in front of the mirror just practicing that look.
Or even just posing. Like, true. They could do life modeling. They can
a
take this
of
into
stuff
life.
Like that.
Look, that maybe hand that's models. How they can make some money in between the New Zealand con and the
That's it. That's how they pay for their meals.
On the ferry on the way over. But I think they're flying, so that's great. And of course, you know, we've got people like Chris Heyerdahl, which is one of the interviews coming up. Just a little abridged interview put together there. And we chatted to him, and he talked about just, I guess, loving to come and meet the fans, actually. Mm. And we also talked about the boredom. Not the boredom of coming to conventions, but of filming and how it's a lot of waiting.
It's not
so
glamorous.
That's why they're good at it.
Yeah.
They're good at sitting around because they're used to it.
Well, so it's funny because, you know, you're doing, you do theatre and you get that instant recognition, the applause, the smiles, you know that, okay, yep, that was a good scene, I did a good job there. Where you're on a film set, you've done this massive scene, it's going to be the climax of the film or the episode, and then you hear, cut, all right, next. And it's all quiet. It's like, well, was that any good? I guess we're not reshooting it, so it must be. But you don't know what the fans are going to think about it.
Yeah.
And this gives the film actors and TV people the opportunity to go, you know what? I did do good on that show. You know?
Mm. And also, it's like, you've got these particular actors and they're used to green screen, blue screen, wearing, tight leotards, a bit like Dean here.
I love it.
Sorry, Dean. He loves it.
I love it. I don't mind.
So, Dean, okay, you did the cosplay, Dazzler, but there's some great comic news that I don't know.
Well, there's some fantastic news that's been coming out.
Yeah.
Some of the main stuff is obviously DC and Marvel. That Marvel has launched Marvel Now, and over the weekend they've been saying a lot more about what's coming up, like Guardians of the Galaxy is
Ant-Man.
Coming out. And the Ant-Man movie is going to be launched, I think it's 2014 in November 6th, I believe the date was.
There's a lot of people thinking, really? Ant-Man? Because it's one of those characters that not everybody knows.
Well, we don't exactly know as well which Ant-Man it's going to be, whether it's Irredeemable Ant-Man or Hank Pym.
Because there's like millions of them.
It's got to be Hank Pym, because he ties in with the Avengers nicely.
I would hope so, but a part of me just thinks I don't want to have Hank Pym in the Avengers movies because of everything else that it brings to it. Like
there is a darkness that he has.
Which I love, but I don't think they'll bother delving into it.
But then they've got to bring Wasp as well, though, don't they?
Which I think would be great. They need more female characters in the Avengers movie, I think.
Yeah.
So
let's
hope that Joss is paying attention and listening right now.
And they need to branch out.
Yeah, more women. I think
it's
important.
Thousands to choose from.
More of it.
Well, I think Joss already does do a lot for women.
But
we can
talk on television.
We can talk about that in a little bit later, so listeners can kind of be gripped
by us here in the studio on Joy 94.9. This is Sci-Fi and Squeam.
Meanwhile, I think we should go have a look at your discussion with Chris and see how that interview went.
Okay, cool.
This is Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
Fired Squeam from Joy 94.9, and we've got Christopher Heyerdahl. So here in Melbourne, is this your first time?
In Melbourne, no. I've been here probably three, maybe four times before.
Okay, excellent. Like, let's look at the resume, and that's a wonderful resume.
It's good to have a resume that's three decades long. It's one of those things that, as an actor, you never know when your career is going to be over, so it's nice to look back and know that you have at least 30 years in the past, and hopefully we'll have the same in the future.
And what would be some of the highlights? Obviously, you mentioned Twilight, of course. A Sanctuary is a wonderful, wonderful show.
Supernatural was a great fun. I just did True Blood. I'm doing a show that is showing here and in New Zealand called Hell on Wheels. It's set in the late 19th century, and it tells the story of the first transcontinental railroad and cowboys and Indians and all sorts of mayhem that happens when people are trying to cross that scape and bring the U.S. really try and bring it as one, join the West to the East.
So Canada is like, I've heard people call it the North Hollywood. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. Hollywood North is something that Vancouver has claimed as their...
Now, I did ask, highlights in this awesome career, what would you point out? And okay, directors or that you've enjoyed working with the most?
The great thing about working in television is that each episode you're working with a different director. So there have been so many. Recently, I was working with Catherine Hardwicke, who did the first Twilight film. And she came up and did an episode of Hell on Wheels. Doing the Supernatural, playing Alistair, was a lot of fun. I was just hanging out with Mark Ralston, who played the first incarnation of Alistair in Supernatural.
Yep.
And he was saying how it was a real highlight for him and his career, and I would say the same thing. It's interesting when you walk onto a set and come in just for a couple of episodes. Sometimes it's difficult to make a connection with the people who are already there and have been there for years. The guys on that set are everyone from Jensen and Jared to the producers, to the crew. Everyone was very welcoming, and both of us have great memories of shooting those episodes. You know, Sanctuary, playing a couple of characters on Sanctuary, playing a couple of two characters on Stargate Atlantis, one character on Stargate SG-1, recently doing True Blood. Again, it's another very welcoming set, and these are, it just makes the job so much better. I mean, we're all lucky to be able to do this job, but when you walk in and you're welcomed so warmly, it's fantastic. I must say that on the lot of True Blood, the set, the food was fantastic.
True. And you work it off a bit later when you're hunting down shapeshifters or biting someone's neck.
Yeah, it's always good to have a little barbecue just before you bite into someone's neck.
That fake blood. Love it. Love True Blood. Love vampires. But we need our vampires to have more balls, excuse me. And True Blood at least is keeping that up.
And they show them off on a regular basis, yeah.
I just want to say thank you so much for chatting to us on Sci-Fi and Squeam.
You're waiting for something on the barbecue when you're talking about Hawk. Hello, this is Christopher Heyerdahl, and you are listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on 94.1.
Nine.
Oh, hello, this is Christopher Heyerdahl, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam. Joy. 94.9. It is a joy.
Lovely. You have dulcet tones. You're very soft-spoken. I was expecting someone to be, like, loud and... Because you do play some very obnoxious, creepy characters.
Because I play those characters, I don't have to express that, obviously, you know, very well-exercised part of my personality in real life.
Yeah, you can have a day off.
Are you prepared for the zombie apocalypse? In case of emergency, break glass and tune in to Joy 94.9 on a Tuesday night for Sci-Fi and Scream.
This is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9, and that was Chris. He's so funny and really soft-spoken.
Chris Heyerdahl. Yeah, he was so soft-spoken. Lovely chap. One of the guests over here for the weekend just passed for Armageddon. Okay, so don't forget, people, if you want to go into the running for an amazing gift, I was going to say gift, I did say gift, but gift. A prize. It's a double pass. It's to the Monster Film Festival opening night. It's called The ABCs of Death. Now, that's the movie that they're going to play at 7 o'clock, but rock on up about 6 p.m. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's at the Cinema Nova here in Carlton in Melbourne, or also known as Batmania. And it's basically a twisted, sick look at 26 different ways of dying. This is fictional, this is horror, and that's what happens with some horror films. They can be quite gory. So it's part of the Monster Fest, which is a great celebration of all things horrific in celluloid, and it includes films like Excision, which is also going to be played for the first time in Australia, but old classics like The Stuff from Larry Cohen. And we'll have an interview with Larry actually next week to play. We spoke to him. He did Maniac Cop, and they're also playing Maniac Cop. They're playing Hundra, which is like a pre-Xena film. I don't know if anyone's seen it.
Yeah, no, I remember that one.
It's hilarious. Laura Landon is coming over. Elvira's going to be in town. Yay. We're all excited. And, of course, the Twisted Twins themselves, the Soska twins, Jen and Sylvia, will be coming to Melbourne. They are considered the best of horror filmmakers to come out now in the new genre, and their film called American Mary will also have its premiere on the closing night on November 9th. So this festival runs from the 31st of October to the 9th of November, only through Monster Pictures Australia and only at Cinema Nova.
I can't wait for Monster Pictures after the 31st. I can't wait. The gore.
The gore. It's the love be of great. Blood.
And that's opening night tickets.
That is opening night.
That's going to be a huge night. It's opening night. They're going to kick off a party for that.
They will be partying.
They'll certainly be cosplay there.
ABCs of Death.
My goodness. You've done radio.
That's how you've got to introduce it.
Now, we're going to be playing a few more little sound bites. One of them coming up is with Terry Malloy. Who's he? Well, he's the evil Davros from Doctor Who, of course, the universe of Doctor Who.
I love my Who.
He was such a funny guy.
Oh, he's fantastic, wasn't he?
Terry's just so good. Yeah. he took like a lot of jokes. Like he's dishing out a lot of
humour. There was a lot of questions and answers, and the panels were really good. It was really fluid, and people were really getting into it and enjoying themselves, which is great. We've also got a chat we had with the amazing, amazing Cindy Morgan. She was over here, and she was awesome, so it was lovely to have a chat to her as well about Tron, about Caddyshack, what she's up to, and the whole social network thing. She's right on the ball there. And then, of course, later on, we've got Bruce Boxleitner.
And also Charles Martinet.
Yeah.
And he was the voice of Mario. So if anyone just tuned in, we do have Mario
him
coming
talking.
Up. Yeah. Him talking, yeah. With his voice.
It's Mario.
Yeah, it's pizza.
And he's around Chinatown tonight, so if anyone is driving about.
Look out for the man with the Nintendo t-shirt.
Eating Asian food.
It makes sense.
This is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Hi, this is Jim Beaver. I play Bobby Singer on the TV series Supernatural. You're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
From Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. It's the Armageddon Media Call. We've got so many people that we've spoken to. Probably one of the most amazing people that are here is Terry Malloy. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Sonia.
It's the voice. Gets me every time. Goosebumps aside, you, of course, are Davros.
Davros, creator of the Daleks and exterminator of the Doctor. Correct. Yeah, that's me.
Do you ever get tired of using that voice?
No, I enjoy doing it. I mean, you know, I've done it a lot now. I mean, I've, played the character, 17 times on telly and radio and stage in various combinations. It's a voice that I worked on at the beginning because, for me, that was the key to the character.
Did you bring that voice to the character, or did they...
No, I took it from Michael Wisher, who created the character. Mm. I mean, so I was taking over from him, so I had to use the voice that he created. So I worked on how he'd created that voice initially. A lot of it was actually informed by having to wear the mask because it's very restrictive and it creates a particular way of having to speak. But then we developed it, obviously, you know, and I've brought my own elements of psychosis and humour into the character as we've gone along, you know, as you do.
And I guess probably one of the questions you get asked a lot is what would be a defining moment when you realise that the popularity of even the evil, so-called, the whole experience there, when did you realise that being bad was actually quite good?
I've always found playing bad characters more interesting than playing good ones. For me, it's an interesting process as to why they were bad, because nobody, I believe, is born bad. That something happens along the route, be it gender or genetics or whatever it may be, something creates something that is not quite right, or it crosses a line, be it moral or whatever, that turns them onto a different path. And I found that very much with Davros. And it was interesting when we did I, Davros, the four-part miniseries, where we explored that canon from Davros as a 15-year-old boy right through to the creation of the first Dalek. So, you know, you'd not seen anything of this Davros before, who was a perfect human being. He was a perfect, perfect Skaro being, beautiful, this and brilliant mind and all of this. How did that change and become what Davros has become? And for me, that was interesting to look at and record that journey. That was a favourite process, really, very much. It's like with any character, there's a baddie, so-called baddie. There's that element of wanting to know why they got there and finding the truth of that character from within yourself, who are perhaps not as bad as that person is bad, but you've got to play that character and make people believe that you are as bad as that. For me, that's the interesting process as an act, you know, satisfied with what I do. But I really respect those directors who will stop me in my track to say, no, yeah, that's fine, but you're a lot better than that. And you could do it this way.
You can do better.
Mm. But it's, you know, directors that... It's not a case of having balls, but having the perception to know what they want and have me within their vision they want, not to the point where they're saying, I want you to do it this way. Those aren't directors. Those yep. are people, martinets who like just try to manipulate people into positions.
Welcome. This is Davros welcoming you to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. Listen or be exterminated.
94.9. And I've got the awesome Cindy Morgan here.
Thank you.
I can't believe it. This is wonderful.
Yes, thank you.
Welcome to the show.
And welcome to Australia and Melbourne. This is just amazing.
You're here for Armageddon.
Yes.
Is this the first time in Melbourne?
Yes. I'm so excited. This is just going to be so much fun.
And for you, coming all this way, like, how do you think the response is going to be? I mean, there's a lot of interest and, I should say, reinvigoration about the whole, well, Tron, obviously.
Oh, absolutely. The wonderful thing that Disney didn't put me in Tron, the most amazing thing happened. Had I been in Tron, I would have walked through a scene and that would have been the end of it. But because I wasn't, fans organized. These are the people who buy the tickets yes. and pay for the movies. The yes. people actually, the people who count, exactly. All of a sudden, they organized, they became supporters, they put together websites, they were picked up by the press, and they were the ones who really wanted me here. And so thank you to the people who organized. And the ladies of Twitter, a lot of the ladies on Twitter organized, and they're the reasons I'm here. So I'm so thrilled that people went to fight to bring me
social
in.
Social media is incredible. The social side
so.
Of it is wonderful.
It's a whole new world, and it's my backyard now, because I grew up in broadcasting, 5 years in broadcasting. That I understand. That has rules and things that my image can be controlled by me. What I say, I try to stand behind. People who work with me have a couple of rules. Always respect Disney, and no whining. No whining about the fact that I'm not in the film. Everybody takes a hit now and then. Yeah. Everybody. Tell me one person who's led a charmed life who hasn't had to fight for something. But it's how you fight for something that counts, to show a little bit of grace under pressure. So Disney re-released Tron globally. Bruce and I get paid nothing for that, because DVDs and CDs were not in our original contract. Mm. But Disney created a global market for us. Another reason I'm sitting here today. Yep. I'm thrilled.
When I first saw Tron, I could not believe the magnitude of how this story could be told. It was so different, and it's led the way. How do you feel about being part of something? So, I mean, you must get this question millions of times.
I do get asked that. I was part of two very different movies that were groundbreaking. Caddyshack is one of those films they'll never do again for obvious reasons, as was Tron.
Yes.
Two very almost polar opposites, but similar in the fact that they were both groundbreaking. There were rules, but then again, there were no rules. The rule was to stay in the scene. In Disney, it was more about doing the scene as written. In Caddyshack, it was more about staying in the scene. And to do that, you had to trust your instincts. They don't teach that in school and any acting class. I feel really blessed and lucky. I've seen better actors. I've seen more talented people, people with better connections, much prettier women. So I feel very lucky to be in those films.
And the wonderful thing is, I think the 80s was such very important, like ground zero. Mm-hmm. And a whole lot of heap of talent came through, and the influences are still felt today.
The influences have permeated popular culture and have become a part of everyday speaking and everyday speech and just the way people think. And it's humbling, and it also gives me a great sense of responsibility.
For your career up to now and looking in the future, what sort of things are you involved in now?
I've just upgraded my hardware so I can finish the coffee table book that I've been working on for a few years. It's one of those labors of love that people come in, people come out for various reasons, and I've got to finish it. From Catholic school to Caddyshack, how a nice Polish girl from Chicago got dropped into arguably one of the funniest movies of all time.
And lived.
To tell the story.
And one of the few that are like still, you're still going.
Yes.
Amazing. From the Caddyshack.
That's true. Yes, I'm alive and I'm not criminally insane. Not yet. And it's a coffee table book because I hold the rights to 1,700 behind the scenes images. What it was. People want to know what was really going on in set. I'll tell you because I was there. Crazy and beautiful but crazy. The emphasis on crazy.
Cool, crazy.
Yeah,
crazy.
Yeah. Hi, this is Cindy Morgan, but you probably know... Hi, this is Cindy Morgan, but you probably know me as Lacey Underall in Caddyshack or Yuri in Tron. And you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream. I'm just going to say anything I damn well please. No, I can't do that.
No,
94.9 Joy Radio.
Wow. Excellent. Thank you, Cindy Morgan, for talking to us here on Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. Well, now, we've had a great message from Brett from Catching Up that was on before us. He says, love you for playing the Davros. Yes, Davros, or better known as Terry Malloy. And also, we've had Mason message in too. So, from Preston. So,
Surely Terry Malloy is better known as Davros, not Davros, better known as Terry Malloy.
Yeah, I think I got that round the wrong way. Thanks, Brett. Thanks, guys.
But he's had his arm repaired, so he can actually use both arms now.
True, and, you know, a bit of skin work done, which is lovely.
So, yeah, in the studio, we've got Scott Liston from Armageddon and First Contacts.
Mm-hmm. That's me.
The convention man himself.
The man of many hats.
And Dina Curry from Gy-Fi Podcast.
I have many hats too.
Now, going on and on off air about comics.
It's a nerdy thing. I love my comic. I can't run Armageddon. I love it. You need to do conventions like this because my comic book purchases are a tax deduction.
Oh, it's great, isn't it?
It's awesome, isn't it?
It supports the artists, and that's important. Now, you've got interesting info too.
Actually, on the weekend, Tristan Jones, who writes and illustrates Ghostbusters for IDW, and he's also done Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, launched a plausible fundraising campaign with Greg McLean who's directing Wolf Creek 2.
Yeah, well, he was director, writer, producer of the first one.
Yeah, the original.
This is a comic, basically. It's being published through Gestalt. I think they're using their publishing. And it's for a comic that they're putting together, which is based on the character of Sebastian Hawkes. And it's quite exciting. I had a look at all the different prizes they were giving away. They were quite exciting. They started at a simple thing of a digital copy of the comic once it's made. This is all for an issue one. They're raising a lot of money, and they've always, actually, in the first 5 hours, they'd raised over $1,000.
Wow,
which
that's
is absolutely
which
fantastic.
Which supports a local artist because it is pretty tough and it's a hard
Tristan
slog out there.
Tristan is writing. Tristan's not actually drawing it as well.
Okay. He's not drawing this one.
He's not drawing it from what I remember, and I feel really bad that I didn't write down all of the details. So I'm looking at this right now. So I can't quite find the information.
That's okay.
But yeah, Tristan's writing because he writes and draws Ghostbusters for IDW.
His artwork's amazing.
Oh, isn't it fantastic?
Yeah. It is. I've got a nice Doctor Who 5 Doctors print that he did for us.
Oh, wow.
Oh, lovely.
Very cool.
Have you got them to sign it, all 5 of them, or?
No,
that's
not,
coming up.
Not yet. That's coming up in April. Yeah.
Well, he wasn't actually at Armageddon because he was over in New York Comic-Con, which is where this got mentioned. So I was seeing all the information on Saturday night on Twitter. And
Carrie Fisher was there too. Oh, we love Carrie.
We have Carrie
Fisher. I believe she was at New York Comic-Con because we have got October the 21st is considered officially Princess Leia Day.
That's right.
I'm serious.
Everyone's asked to
go out and buy your bagels.
Put their Facebook picture
on your ears
of them as Leia. Well, I have a picture of me as Leia, don't I? So I could use
you
that.
You do. You could do that. Now, we have got an interview with Bruce Boxleitner coming up very shortly here on Sci-Fi and Scream.
And Charles Martinet coming up. This is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
This is Jay Christoph, author of Storm Dancer. You're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
This is Bruce Boxleitner, by the way. That was a very long intro, but I love it.
Sorry.
No, it's cool. Bruce Boxleitner, this is Sci-Fi and Scream. I'm Sonia from Joy 94.9. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I think it's a radio show.
A long time already.
Yes. Feels like it. No.
We are in front of the Roxy Theatre. How do you like
it? It is the Roxy, and would you believe it? It's right in Batmania. It's in Melbourne.
It is.
I say Batmania because that should have been the original name of Melbourne.
I'm sorry, Gotham wasn't good?
Gotham's were being taken in the fictional sense.
I'll believe everything you say. It's true.
Good. All right, so here we are. You're going to be in Armageddon this weekend. It is a big venture.
But yeah.
Well, it did start in Christchurch, and they have had a lot of earthquakes. So
yes, a good we're going to be in New Zealand next 4 or 5 days, 6 days from now, in Auckland, right?
Yeah.
I also worked in Auckland too, so I'm not as
really
in these places.
When were you in Auckland?
I was there in the late '80s after Scarecrow and Mrs. King. I did a movie in Rarotonga.
Rarotonga. Wow.
In the Cook Islands.
My mother's from there.
That's right. I loved it there. Very laid back. It was great. Are you?
What a career, Bruce. Yeah. Like, seriously, awesome career. But you're here also. There's this big, big going on with Tron being re-released, and it's going to be fabulous to have you there presenting.
I'm very honored. This isn't the first time. Legacy was here already.
Legacy was here, yeah.
But it's going to have a nice big IMAX thing, I think, right?
Which is great.
So they called me and said, would I do that? I said, of course.
Why not?
Absolutely. There's no problem with that. I have been doing all things Tron since 1982, but I never expected it to be going this far and this long. I never expected they would want to revisit that, you know? So I decided, you know, if it's going to be Tron, I want to I want to be a part of it because I don't want somebody else taking over that role.
And
they haven't.
No. Well, they can't. I mean, you've got Jeff Bridges, you can be, yeah. What was it like being in this sequel so many years later? Like, it was almost 30 years when they decided to make it. Did you think they were crazy?
It's 30 years this year. And we did Tron Legacy 2 years ago. It came out. 2010. Yeah, 2010. Yeah. Strangely, it seemed like a long time. And strangely, it seemed like it had been 2 months ago. It was bizarre because once Jeff and I got back together and I saw him, and it was a long rehearsal process. We went through several screenplays. We were all part of it. Doing timed readings of them, and you know, the writers would bring in stuff, and we would sit long before we shot. They called and asked me. I mean, I had no idea. I did know that at San Diego Comic-Con they showed a little bit of footage early on. They surprised an audience at this big hall, had about 5,000 people in it. They showed trailers. Hollywood brings all these trailers and things like that to show what's coming up in the genres, various films, and they just snuck that on there, and the reaction was through the roof. And so they knew right away, and that sort of was one of the reasons they greenlit the movie to go ahead, because they realized there's a huge audience out there still wants to do this. And obviously Jeff is, you know, a huge international film star, and so he wanted to. And they called me, and I said, "Are you kidding? No, I don't want to be in it." Yes, of course I wanted. Yeah. It had been rumored over the years.
Yes.
But I never take any. There's always a rumor about something. So I never really took it seriously. And then Sean Bailey and Joe Kaczynski, the heads of the producers, executive producers of it, called me personally and said, "Would you please, would you want to be doing this? You know, we need you in this." And of course, that was very flattering to be wanted back. So, and I did. And I was actually hired. I helped cast all the Olivia Wilde and Garrett Hedlund. I screen tested with all the young prospective.
Did you have to wear the gear? Did you have to wear the?
We just did screen tests, but it was over at Disney, and there were a lot of big name young actors wanting these roles. But I think they were looking. Garrett had been around in a number of things, Troy, and a number of other films, so he was sort of on the coming up. And Olivia had been on House, and she had had a number of things, and was just this gorgeous looking girl and fine actress. Well, science fiction is very much in now. You got to remember, it was never ever considered for Academy Awards. It was always considered childish by the Academy, a very establishment type
that's
old
kids
school
stuff,
thing.
Grow up.
It's kids stuff. And after the success of Star Wars, which probably which is still more fantasy than science fiction.
Space opera.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
No,
true. And as we know, and now Batman was up for Best Picture last 2 years ago. I mean, come on. You know, that would have never... A Batman movie? Dark Knight was actually considered for Best Picture?
Heath Ledger? Best Supporting?
I mean, this is not the comics anymore.
I remember you in How the West Was Won.
Yes. That was my
first one of my crushes.
Thank you. Oh, Luke McKeon.
Squeam. Oh, you saw that? Yeah.
Squeam.
So
you're going to explain that, are you?
Yeah, well, it's... I'm not going to let you riff on that. Whatever you like, on Joy 94.9. So we're an LGBTIQ radio station.
Yeah, what do whatever. Say?
What do you your say? Name?
My name?
Yes, and?
Hello, I'm Hello. Bruce Boxleitner, and you are listening to...
Sci-Fi and Squeam.
She said it, Sci-Fi and Squeam.
On Joy 94.9.
On Joy 94.9. See, I can follow a script.
Are you good? You're an actor. Are you good?
Hello to all my friends, it's at Joy 94.9. It's-a me, Mario. Woohoo! You guys, number one. Woohoo!
Here I am talking to, yes, you heard it, Mario, one of the Mario brothers. Also known as Charles Martinet. Yes, this is Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9. We do look at some video games, culture, science fiction, and even horror.
Mamma mia, very scary. Hey, Luigi, what do you think about horror?
Oh, Mario, help me. Why, Luigi, like? Mario likes it too. Have a rotten day. Pfft.
with me.
Baby Mario say, bring it on. Yahoo.
Now you're over here for Armageddon. Armageddon 2012 in Melbourne. Is it the first time you've done an Armageddon in Melbourne?
Yes, it is. It's the first time I've ever done an Armageddon, and I'm absolutely thrilled to be here. We just did EB Expo last week, and people got to play with the Wii U for the first time ever. Oh. It's coming out November 30th. Everybody's exciting. I mean, you have to put your hands on the gamepad and the controllers to see the magic of it. Yeah. And, of course, new Super Mario Bros. U. Wahoo! I think it's my favorite game ever. I just love it. So that's great. And then to come out to Armageddon Expo and meet fans and players and gamers, it's just absolutely a dream come true. And I love Australia. It's such a wonderful country. I like to say Australia is a Super Mario Land. Woohoo! Meeting Mario fans is like the most fun ever because people that love games love a Mario.
And what do you think has been the, as far as the longevity for something like Super Mario's Nintendo, what's been the magical equation there?
You know, I think a combination of the genius and creativity of Mr. Miyamoto and the commitment of everyone at Nintendo to make great games. I mean, people who work at Nintendo are gamers and they love playing the games, and so they love developing the games. You know, when Mario Galaxy was made, that game was absolutely like the most amazing game I've ever seen in my life. People that developed it were so in love with doing it, they kept creating. And they kept creating. Mr. Miyamoto said, well, let's make another one. And so Super Mario Galaxy 2, yoo-hoo! The Wii U is it's a passion for creating new ways of new dimensions. I mean, when you play Super Mario Bros., you get to use the game pad, the controllers, new adventures, HD ways of playing and being in Mario World that are just new and each time better than ever. I think it's awesome.
And for those who don't know, I mean, your own history as far as when you got involved, how did that happen? Did you have a passion for games yourself?
You know, I had played Pong. Yes. I had played Space Invaders. I had played Waka 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 Waka. You know, and that was about it. Oh, and Asteroids. Dok, 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 oh, dok,
Asteroids dok. Kills me. It's so hard.
It's so hard. And when the rocks are... and I was never very good. And I had never heard of Mario because my Atari was sitting in the closet somewhere collecting dust. And you know, all of a sudden I got this call from a friend. You got to go to this audition. It's for a trade show. And I mean, I'm not going to an audition for a trade show. I don't crash auditions. What's the address? You know, and so I went and I walked in the door, and guy was walking out the door with the camera. I said, can I please read for this part? Oh, okay, come on in, you know. And you're an Italian plumber from Brooklyn, right? Make up a voice. It's a video game character, so make up a video game, whatever you want. And you just start talking, and whenever you stop talking, that's your audition, because you're going to have these things glued to your face, and when you move your face, that's supposed to make the cartoon character or the game character move his face in real time, say, hello, I'm Mario. But if it doesn't work, you're going to talk to people all day anyway. Mamma mia, you know, an Italian plumber from Brooklyn, that should be, hey, how you doing? Don't bother me, all right? You know? But video games, I can soften that up. And video games, I was just thinking about what to do, and all of a sudden I heard, action. Hello, I'm a Mario. Okie dokie, let's make a pizza pie together, you know? And I just kept talking until I heard, stop, cut, stop talking. There's no more tape. Thank you very much. We'll be in touch. And I thought, well, that's the kiss of death for an actor. Yeah. I'll, you know, get back to the sunset. Mine was the only tape he sent up to Nintendo. He called them up. He said, I found our Mario. I got him. And that was 22 absolutely joyful years ago.
Yes, you certainly personify that, I think. Definitely Charles Martinet. It's been a privilege to talk to you. This is a radio station that is an LGBTIQ radio station. A lot of geeks in the gay community, just to give you a little example, we're a bit more of a marginalised group within another marginalised group. And what message would you have for gamer geeks out there who are gay?
I would say love yourself, have a wonderful time, enjoy your life. It was the same thing I would say to absolutely anybody, is find your joy, find your happiness, love yourself, appreciate your family and friends, and follow your heart, follow your destiny. We don't know how long we have to unwrap it, so let's get to it, let's have a wonderful time, and I would say, Mamma mia, you number one, woohoo! Hello, beautiful Princess Sonia. It's a me, Mario. Woohoo! You number one. Wahoo! Hello to all of my friends on a sci-fi and scream on Joy 94.9. Number one. Wahoo! Hello, Mitch. It's a me, Mario. Woohoo! The beautiful Princess Sonia tell me you number one. Wahoo!
And so, this is Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9. Charles Martineau, did you like that, Mitch?
I loved it.
Mitch, thank a little message to you.
Little surprise.
Much love from me and Charlie.
I'm surprised he didn't call me a princess.
He hadn't met you, obviously. Wonderful. Wunderbar. Now,
coming up next week, we have a really amazing show. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the Monster Fest. And yeah. So, this is interviews from the film festival filmmakers. Yeah.
We've got the Soska Twins. Jen and Sylvia Soska. We've got Larry Cohen, and I can't announce them all, but there may be some very, very special ones coming up.
Some very, 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 very special ones. Special. But we did have really special ones tonight also.
We did. And we had great special, special guests. We had Scott Liston from First Contacts Conventions and Armageddon Expo. Scott.
Thank you for having me.
What are your impressions?
About?
Well, can you do impressions?
Everybody do woo-hoo!
Everybody Mario!
It's me!
And Dean from Guy Fi.
Yay!
Podcast, that is.
And I just want to say I'm very happy that Coulson lives on in the S.H.I.E.L.D. television show. That's and even be, though he died in the Avengers movie, yay.
You just can't turn the geek off, can
no,
you?
No, we can't.
Both of you.
Yeah, it's like, when I saw the news yesterday, one of my mates was like, Coulson's alive! I'm like, really? Oh, because that was just gut-wrenching in Avengers when they killed him.
Well, you know, they actually edited in the relaunch of the DVD, the Blu-ray, the actually edited the death scene so it doesn't quite look like it stabs him all the way through. So, and then they announced that he's going to live. So it's all a little bit of a...
I don't know. I like it if they die because it gives you that reality,
I agree.
Don't you think?
You don't, well, want the, you, don't want the, you don't sort of want the cop-out?
Well, I think it's good that the TV show is going to be separated to the film. That's the way that I look at it. And if you look at the character of Coulson, he's being properly reintroduced to the Marvel Universe this week in Marvel's Point One issue. He's been around in bits and pieces, but they're thrusting him forward. And he also plays a fantastic role in the Spider-Man, Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon, where he's a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent and principal at Spider-Man school.
Principal.
Not like Principal Skinner.
I like the idea of them doing a S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show that gives you a bit more about the political stuff going on behind. It's not just all Iron Man, Captain America and all, you know, fighting aliens or what have you. It's about the manoeuvring that's going on behind the scenes.
I also love the idea of Joss Whedon doing anything on television.
Yeah, no, fully agreed.
True.
Yeah.
True. Well, we love all of those things in genre. So, that's the show for tonight.
Thank you so much to everyone from Armageddon and all the actors and actresses that were able to handle Sonia for more than 5 minutes.
Thank you. I'm impressed.
I'm impressed.
I'm happy.
Anytime, guys. Anytime. It was a pleasure. It was a pleasure having you down there.
And thank you so much for listening to us.
This is Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
Hi, I'm Lawrence Krauss. I'm Foundation Professor and Director of the Origins Project at Arizona State University, a theoretical physicist and author. And you're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.